Okay, we are starting the third parak of Bava Metzia today, Parak HaMafkid, a very famous, well-known parak. It's one of those parakim that they learn very often in school, in yeshivas. It's all about Dinei Shomrim, which we've talked about before. We'll review, we'll give some more background. Okay, we'll do Refuah Shlema for the week. Okay, let's get started. The first thing I put on the sheet is a chart, which we've seen before. I added to it another section. And we're going to talk about this four Shomrim. I'm not going to go through today the Psukim in the Torah, but we'll get to them as we use them. And we'll see that there's a section of Psukim in Sefer Shemot, which we've seen before, which talk about four different kinds of people who watch things. The Socher is mentioned very, very slightly at the end, and that's why you'll see there's a machloka between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, where exactly the Socher, which is someone who rents an item, fits in. But if we talk about, there's four people. There's a Shomer Chinam, somebody who watches an item for free. A Shomer Sachar, someone who gets paid to watch an item. If you get paid to watch an item, or you watch an item for free, in general, the concept, or it is not just in general, but the idea is that you're not allowed to use the item at all. Okay? And im shalach yado b'melech re'eihu, if he uses the item, he's already chayav. Okay? He's responsible. He's not allowed to do that. Then there's a socher, which is someone who rents the item, who's obviously allowed to use the item because he rents it. That's the whole point of him doing it. However, he pays money to use the item, and that's different from the shoel, who borrows an item, doesn't pay money, and gets to use the item. Okay, so therefore, let's go through the criteria. All four of these people, if they're poshea, you can follow on the chart, anyone who's poshea, who intentionally is negligent with the item, and this could mean, by the way, he could throw it and break it, or he could just be negligent, leave his door open at night, and a ganav comes in and it gets stolen. That could also be negligence. In other words, I guess maybe you'd have to define what is leaving your door open at night. Is it a place that's unsafe, a place that normally gets robbed, right? If you take Ranana, where there's robberies all the time. So, leaving your door unlocked might be actually pshia. Or again, if he leaves it out in his chatzir, maybe that would even be more pushy, and then someone steals it. So we're going to talk in a minute about Gneva Vaveda. That's a Gneva Vaveda where you tried to protect it, but in the end, somebody stole it or it got lost. But Pshia is where you were totally negligent. All four Shomrim are responsible. Now, as we go down the line, we're going to see that in each case, there's going to be someone or more than one person who's going to be Patur. If you're a Shomer Chinam and it gets stolen from you, since you weren't getting paid to watch it, what do we say? You're Patur. Now, any case you're Patur, there's always a concern that what? That maybe you're claiming this is what happened, but you're lying. And therefore, we make you swear that this is the case. So while he's Patur from Gneva Vaveda, and we're going to see this today, he has to swear that it was stolen from him or that he lost the item. A Shomer Sachar is going to be Chayav, because what else were you paying the guy for if not to protect from Gneva Vaveda? So therefore, he's Chayav. A Socher, there's a machloket Rabbi Meir of Rabbi Yehuda. If you remember, we saw that there's a difference of opinion about who holds what. Okay, but whether we treat the Socher like a Shomer Chinam or like a Shomer Sachar. And then the Shoel is going to be Chayav, because we say about the Shoel, Kol hana'ah shelo. If you remember, we said this term many times. It means he gets all the benefits. He doesn't have to pay, and he gets to use the item. Because of that, he's responsible even in Gneva Vaveda, and we're going to see all the more so even in Ones. So now we're up to the next case, Ones. Okay, that means someone puts a gun to your head and steals it, or something like that, where it's totally beyond your control. In that case, we're going to say only the shoel is chayav. Everybody else is patur. And then we finally get to this last category, which we haven't discussed yet, which is Meta Machmat Melacha. And this is a case where everybody's patur. This is if you're using the item in a typical way, okay, then, and it dies. Now, the truth is, this isn't an appropriate chart. It's really only relevant for the Socher and the Shoel, right? Because the Shomer Chinam and the Shomer Sachar are not allowed to use the item. But in a Shoel and a Socher who are allowed to use the item, if while you're using the item for its typical use that you borrowed it for or that you rented it for, it dies, then you're not responsible. Even the shoel is not going to be responsible. Okay, let's start with the Mishnah on Lama Gimel Lama Bet. Hamafkid etza chavero behema o kelim. Okay, the first question of the Gemara is going to be, why does it say both behema and kelim? Vinignivu o sha'avdu. Okay, and they were stolen or they got lost. Shileim v'lo ratzali shava. Now, what did we say? If someone's mafkid, and let's say you're a shomer chinam, and what happens? It gets stolen or lost. What happens? You are patur, right? But let's say, what did we say? You're patur, but you have to take a shvua. Let's say you don't want to take a shvua. You don't like to swear. And you feel a little bit responsible, even though it wasn't really your fault, right? So, and even though you weren't getting paid. What if shilem v'lo ratza li shava? Okay? If you paid because you don't want to swear, sharei amru shomer chinam nishba v'yotze, right? So, since they say a shomer chinam can be nishba v'yotze, he can swear, like we said, that it was stolen, and he can be patur. Yotze means and he's patur. So, what if you decide I'm going to pay? Now, at this point, we've learned this halacha before. If nimtza haganav, so you pay, basically. You say, I know I watched this for free, but I still feel responsible. I'm going to pay you for the item. I prefer not to swear. We've seen before that people didn't like to swear all the time. And he pays his way out. Now, because he pays his way out, what happens? He buys rights to the item. He acquires, not even buys. You would say he acquires rights to the item. So now, let's say, you know, it was this pen, and I paid for this pen I was watching for you. It got lost, and basically, now I pay for the pen. So now, at this point, what did I claim? I claimed that it was stolen. Okay, there's a bit of a question. Why does the Mishnah say Osha Avdu? Because Avdu isn't so relevant. I'll leave the question aside. Some people say it's really not relevant. Some people explain why it is relevant. But anyway, the basic case is Geneva case. So now, I paid, and I didn't swear. I acquired rights to this item. So if down the road we find the ganav, what now happens? The ganav pays double. Now, who does he pay double to? Well, for sure, the item itself gets returned to the original owner because he was out the item, except that I paid him for that item. So he has to return me my money that I paid for that item. So I get my money back, and the ganav gets his item back, and if for whatever reason, you know, the ganav doesn't have the marker anymore, you know, the pen, so then what does he do? He pays the value of it to the original owner. But now, who gets the kefel, right? The double payment, who gets that? So according to this, Mishalem nimtza ganav, so he still has to pay, Mishalem tashlum kefel. And tavachu machar, if it was an animal, a shor, a set, and he slaughtered it and he sold it, the ganav, then there's the 4 and the 5 payment. Mishalem tashlumei arba ava chamisha. And now the Mishnah says, lemi mishalem, lemisha pikadon etzlo, which means he pays it to me, the person who is watching the item. I acquired rights to the kefel and to the arba ava chamisha. Okay? That's an interesting halacha here, because I basically bought the item. So now when anything happens down the road, the item is mine. Nishba velo ratza l'shalem. If I swore and I didn't want to pay, the opposite case, so what's going to happen, obviously? Nimtza ganav, if the ganav is found, right? So I have nothing to do with this item anymore. I swore, I patured myself, I exempted myself. At this point, what happens? If there's kefel payment, so nimtza ganav, mishalem tashlum kefel, tavachu machar mishalem tashlum rav chamisha, lemi mishalem lebaal hapikadon. Okay, he obviously pays it to the person who it was owned by from the first place, because I now have nothing to do with it. So the first question, Gemara is a linguistic one. Lama li l'minne behema, v'lama li l'minne kelim. Why couldn't you have just said behema, or just said kelim? Tzrichi, de'itana behema, hava amina behema, hu demachne lekfela. Mishum de nafish tircha, li'iyule ulafuka. Aval kelim, de lo nafish tircha, yo ema lo machne lekfela. There's a difference between someone who guards an animal and someone who guards a kli. If I watch a kli, so I stick it in my house, I put it in a safe place, and I leave it. If I watch an animal, I have to deal with the animal. I have to take the animal out, I have to bring the animal in, I have to do things with the animal. So the Gemara is saying here is that if we just would have had behema, what would you have thought? Well, the guy who, if I lost the animal, right, and I claim it, it was lost, but I'm going to pay anyway. So then I acquire the rights, because not only did I watch your animal, but I worked hard to watch the animal. As I paid my way, and I worked hard while I was watching it. So therefore, the owner's willing to give me the rights to the kefel. But you might say, kelim de lo nafesh tirchayu, that I didn't do very much for the guy. He was not willing to be machnali the kefel. Because remember, you have to understand, when I acquire rights, It's a two-way street, right? If I acquire rights, it means how can I acquire rights to this item? Because the owner, we'll get to this in a few minutes also, the owner was willing to give me rights. When he accepted payment for it, he said, oh, I'm willing to give you rights for the future kefel if there are any. But the point is that maybe you would have thought that he's only willing to do it in an animal case, but not in a kelim case where I didn't do very much for him. V'itana kelim, hava mina kelim hu demakne lekfela, mishum delo nafish kiflayu. אבל בהמד, לכי טבח ומחר משלם תשלומי ארבעה וחמישה, אם אלו למקנה לכפלה. And therefore צריכה. What do we say here? That in a case where there's just, let's say it's kelim, so there's only kefel. If it's an animal, there's potential to get ארבעה וחמישה in the case that the guy stole it. And then he sold it, he slaughtered it and sold it, then there would be an ארבעה וחמישה payment. Now, what happens? I pay my rights to, you know, I say, listen, I lost your thing or it got stolen possibly, I don't know what happened. And when the guy takes the money for it, the assumption is he's willing to give me rights to the kefel. But now we're going to say, maybe you would have thought that in an animal case he's not willing to give me rights because think about how much more money he could get for it, right? If the ganav is found, he's going to get four or five times. That amount, maybe he's not willing to be makne to me. Comes the mission to teach you, even a behemah, he's willing to give. Even the Arba'a B'chamisha, he's makne the kelim. Now we're going to have a basic question on this whole thing. Matkif l'rami barchama. V'ha ein adam makne davar shelo ba'la olam. Don't we have a concept that a person can't give rights to someone if it's not existent in the world? Now this kefel payment and this tashlumei Arba'a B'chamisha is not existent right now. Right? It's not in this world. It's not maybe we'll find the ganav. Maybe if we find him, he'll pay. Maybe he won't pay. We have no idea. Maybe there wasn't a ganav. Maybe it was lost, right? We don't know. So, right, it depends. It could be the guy said it was stolen. But even if not, you know, it could be he said it was lost or stolen. I don't know what happened to it, right? It could have been either one. But even if he says it's stolen, it's not clear we'll ever get this Arba'a B'chamisha payment or the kefel. And afilu l'Rabbi Meir, if you remember, we've learned that there's a machloket about whether you can give rights to something that doesn't exist in the world yet. So Rabbi Meir, who holds the Amar Adam Makne Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam, and then you say, well, maybe the Mishnah holds like Rabbi Meir. Hanimile Kigon Perot Dekel De Avidi De Atu. Aval, can you pass me the other one? That's the reason why. Yeah. Okay. De Avidi De Atu. Aval Hacha, when he's talking about it, he's saying, Rabbi Meir says, you can be Makne Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam. That's like giving somebody fruits to a tree that the tree already exists, and the fruits are going, we know the fruits will grow. That's something that's avide da'ate, it's going to happen. Aval hacha, but here, so right now it's not in the world, the fruits haven't grown yet, but we know they're going to grow. That's a case where he says you could be makne davar shelo ba'al olam. But in a case where we have no idea, me in our case, mi emer demigneva, who's to say that it was stolen? If it was stolen, who's to say we're going to find the ganav? And if we do find the ganav, if you remember, kefel, when do we pay kefel? Only if the guy was, you know, brought to court and people, Aiden came and said he stole. But if the guy comes forward on his own and said his mode, and he said, I stole, he doesn't have to pay any knas, because mode of a knas is patur. So therefore, there might be a case where he's, even if you find the ganav, right, he might be modet, and then he'll be patur from the kefel. So there's so many options of this never happening. So how could you possibly say this? So amarava naase. So what are we missing here? We're missing a maase kinyan. We're missing an act of acquisition that the person, we want to basically, at this point, what are we saying? That when I pay the value of this marker or this kli or this animal, whatever it is, I pay the value, and at that moment, the owner gives me rights to the future kefel. Now that's something that for sure is lo ba'al olam, even according to Rabbi Meir. So, Amar Rava, we're going to have two readings of Rava, what he says. The first one is like this. Nase ke'omer lo l'chisha tigno v'tirtze v'tishalmeni. It's as if the guy says to him, that in the event that it's stolen and you decide to pay me, like it's like what we're going to have to do is we're going to go back to not the moment, right? Let's put a timeline, okay? There's the moment of where he becomes a shomer, okay? There's the moment where he becomes the shomer. And then there's the moment where he says it was stolen, right? He says it was stolen, and at that point, what does he do? He pays, right? He says it was stolen or lost, and then he pays. So we thought that we're talking about the kinyan is happening now, at the point where he says it was stolen and he pays, which means that he has nothing to acquire because it's all future potential kefel. Okay, but what are we saying now? When he became a shomer in the first place, at the original moment of the shmirah, it's like the owner said to him, I am giving you rights right now, okay? L'chisha tignov, in the event that it gets stolen, v'tir tse v'tishalmeni, and you decide to pay me anyway, hare parati knuya l'cha me'achshav. My para will be yours from now. It'll be a retroactive, that the moment of acquisition, thank you. The moment of acquisition will be retroactive from the moment that you said you were going to be my watchman. Okay, now, we can have a question on this. Matkifla Rabbi Zeira, ihachi afilu gizoteu vladote anami. If that's the case, then what happens? If it's stolen, the guy pays. So what are we talking about? He's going to get future rights to the kefal. But if that happens, and he pays, what should happen? Now, if you remember, we talked about when someone's watching someone's animal or someone's tree, let's say, any proceeds that come from that item while he's watching it, what happens to them? They go back to the original owner. The owner never gave the guy rights to the proceeds of whatever he has, so the gizot, meaning the shearings, and the vladot, and the babies that are born from this, you know, the baby sheep. So all that stuff goes back to the original owner. But if in this event where he says, in the case it's stolen and you pay, my para will be acquired by you, or my sheep, or whatever it might be, we're just talking about sheep, will be acquired by you from the very first moment that I give you the animal, well then what's going to happen? He should acquire anything that came from the animal along the way. So, maybe that's true, but we're going to say, no, it's clearly not true. Alama Tanya, then why does it say in the Braita, Chutz mi gizoteh vladoteh? He doesn't gain rights to the gizot and the vladot. Okay? So therefore, we have a problem. If you're going to say, Rava, that it's all acquired from the very beginning, well, then he should also acquire whatever comes with it. Ela, Amar Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira says, it's not like that. It's Naseh ka'omer lo, Chutz mi gizoteh vladoteh. So here he explains to Rava. He says, yes, Rava says that it's like he's saying to him that in the event that you pay and all that, my para will be knuya lecha retroactively from now. But not including any proceeds that come off of it, meaning just for the kefal. Okay, that it's a pseudo-kinyan. It's not a full kinyan. It's a kinyan where he gets rights to future options. It's like options on stock or something, right? Future options on the animal, if there's kefal or that. But he doesn't get rights to the animal itself. Okay, in terms of the gizot and the vladot. That's one way of explaining it. Umay paska, and now they say, well, why would you distinguish between the kefel and the gizot and the vladot? Stamam demilta shvacha da'ate me'alma avid inish demikne. Shvacha demigufa lo avid inish demikne. It's stamam demilta. If you would look at human behavior, this is what you would see. That people are more willing to give up shevach, proceeds that will come from outside of the animal, rather than proceeds that come from the goof of the animal. So the proceeds that come from the goof of the animal, the shearings and the animals, that's not something that people generally give to other people. But he would be willing to give rights to the things that are not part of the animal. Okay, things that come from the outside, which would be the kefel in the event of robbery. You could also say it in other words. There's more obvious, right? It's just like we said about Rabbi Meir, that it's things that are certain he's not going to give up rights to. Things that are uncertain, he's willing to give up rights to. Right? Maybe he'll have, maybe he won't, fine, you can have it. Right? But if it's certainly going to happen, he's not going to give up rights to. Okay, the second reading of Rava is like this. Ika de'amre amar Rava, naseh ke'omer lo, okay, instead of saying that you're going to, that it's as if I'm giving you retroactive rights from the time you became a shomer, it's like this. Naseh komer lo lechishet tignovet yurtzevet yishalmeni, samuch lignevata knuya lecha. If in the event that it gets stolen and you decide to pay me for it, then I'm going to give you rights to this animal from just the moment before the gneva. Okay, so here on our timeline, right, we're going to put a little line just before that moment. So now it's not saying that he had rights all the way from the beginning, in which case all the gizot and the vladot that happened in the interim are going to go to him, but it's that he's only going to get rights from just before the gneva. Okay, so my benai, what's the difference between these two readings? Number one, there's exactly what we said about Rabbi Zeira. The Gizon and the Vladot are going to be a difference between these two readings. Inami dekaima ba'agam. Also, if the animal at the time, just before it was stolen, let's say it was out by the river, the lake. If it was out by a lake, okay, now, right, we had this whole case in the past. By the way, if someone can make the air a little cooler, it's a little hot. If it's out by the lake, then what's the situation? If it's in my house, so I can acquire rights to it. But I can't acquire rights to something that's not mine to begin with if it's, we're out near a lake. In other words, we're not in my property. So if it was in my property, if at the moment I became a shomer, he gave me rights, so then there was a mishicha, there was a, right, I took the animal. So we could say that that was my kinyan. But at this point, if it's saying that the kinyan had to have happened, right, it's really an imaginary kinyan. It's saying that in the event of a geneva, so a minute before, we're going to assume you can acquire rights. But you can only acquire rights by doing an act, which you certainly didn't do an act of mishticha just before you had no idea it was going to get stolen. So how would you be able to acquire it? By it being in your chatzir. But if it's not in your chatzir, then it won't work. So according to the second reading of Rava, this would only work to say you acquire rights to the kefel if the animal was in your house at the time before the geneva. But if it wasn't, then it wouldn't work. Okay, now we're going to continue on. Shilem v'lo ratza lishava. Okay, so now the guy decides he's going to pay. He doesn't want a lishava, so he gets rights to the kefel. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Now notice the words in the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? If he pays. Now there's two options. Either he could pay, or he could say, I don't want to swear, I'm going to pay. But he doesn't yet pay. Okay, so that's going to be the Gemara's issue here. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo shilem shilem mamash, ela kevan she'amar hareini mishalem, af al pi shelo shilem. Now they're going to say, even though the Mishnah says shilem v'lo ratza lishava, it's enough to say that you wanted to pay. You say you're going to pay, even if you haven't yet paid. Okay? You could already acquire rights just by saying, I'm not going to swear to exempt myself, I'm going to pay. So now the Gemara is going to question this. Tanan, but from our Mishnah, what does it say? Shilem v'lo ratza lishava, which seems to imply shilem in, lo shilem lo, right? If he doesn't pay, then not. But then the Gemara says no, because look at the seifa, ema seifa. This is the constant thing we keep going at, right? Where one implies one and one implies the other, but there's some in between. What does the second part of the Mishnah say? The opposite case. Nishva v'lo ratza lishalem. What does it say? If you swear because you didn't want to pay, right? Then you don't get rights to the kefel. So what does it sound like? Tama delo ratza, because it says velo ratza l'shalem, which sounds like it's dependent on your ratzon alone, right? That because you swore but didn't want to pay. But if you had wanted to pay and you didn't swear, right? Then ha ratza af al pi shelo shilem, even if you haven't yet paid, then maybe you should get rights to the kefel. So therefore, they say ela meha leka l'mashma. Now we can't derive either which way from the Mishnah. So basically, we're left with Rabbi Chiya bar Abba's statement in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that even saying you want to pay is enough to get you the rights to the kefil. Tanya kavatei de Rabbi Yochanan. Now we're going to bring another brayta to support Rabbi Yochanan. Hasocher para mechavero v'nigneva. Somebody rents a para from his friend and it gets stolen. Va'amar hara hala. And here the guy says, Hareini meshalem ve'eini nishba. He says, I'm going to pay, and I'm not going to swear. Here you see it exactly, where he says it, but he doesn't yet do it. V'achar kach nimtza ha-ganav, and in the meanwhile, the ganav is found. Mishalem tashlum ha-kefel la-socher. Here you have it. He gets paid, even though he said, hareini mishalem, but he didn't actually pay according to this. Okay. Amar Rav Papa. Okay, so now we're going to see, by the way, I charted this out on the thing. Okay, so we now, right, you can see the flow here. We had the halacha of Rabbi Yochanan. We had an attempt to question it from our Mishnah. We rejected it. And then we brought a chizuk from a braita. Now Rav Papa's going to say, who can get the kefel and under what conditions? And now, okay, because until now we kind of discussed the shomer chinam with the geneva v'aveda case. But now we're going to see that it's not just he who swears, but there's all sorts of other cases where people have to swear. And if they could have claimed a better claim, right, and they decide not to swear, so then they can also acquire rights to the kefel. But we're going to have two versions of Rav Papa, and I charted them out, so you can see where the difference lies. Amar Rav Papa, shomer chinam, so this is our case, kevan shamar pashati. Now, in If the Shomer Chinam, forget the Gnei Aveda case, let's say he says, I was negligent. Makneh Lekfela. Even if he says I was negligent, he already, and he pays, which he's supposed to, right? He already can gain rights to the kefel. In the case where, let's say he said I was negligent. Remember what I said earlier. Negligence could be I left my door wide open and the ganav came in the middle of the night and he stole it. Now still, in the negligence case, there could be a gneva case, right? In other words, it's not the classic gneva vaveda where you were somewhat responsible but someone came and robbed you. But here you were irresponsible, but still there was a robber. So if you say pashati, it was my fault, and you pay, you also get rights to the kefel. It's not just in the case where you could have potter yourself. Why? Because the assumption is that you could have, right? De'ibai patra nafshe b'gneva. You could have exempted yourself by saying it was stolen and I wasn't negligent. Shomer sachar, if you were watching something for money, kevan she'amar nigneva, if he says it was stolen, machne lakfela. De'ibai patra nafshe b'shvura umeta. He could have lied and said, right, it broke or it died. In other words, it was ones, and he would have been punter. And since he gave a claim where it was chayav, where he was chayav, once he pays, he also acquires rights to the kefel. And here's the part that's going to be different between the two lishonot of Rav Papa. Sho'el she'omer hareini mishalem is going to be different from everybody else. Lo makni lakfela. He can't ever get the kefel. Why? B'mai havalele miftar nafshe. He never really has a good claim to become pater. Why? When can he be pater? B'meita machmat melacha. The only case he could be pater is if the animal died while working, right, while doing its typical thing. So meita machmat melacha lo shachiach. And because it's so rare that something would happen like that, right? Imagine you rent a car or you borrow someone's car, and in the middle of the highway, all of a sudden the car just dies for no reason, right? You didn't do anything wrong; it just all of a sudden dies. How common would that be, right? It's a very uncommon case. So therefore, he doesn't have a good claim to say, oh, well, right, where you could say, well, he said it was ones and he's chayav to pay, but he could have said, but that's so rare and so uncommon that you can't say that. And therefore, the shoel is different from everybody else in that sense. He can never acquire the kefel because he never really has a good claim to excuse himself. Ika de amre, but some people say that Rav Papa said otherwise. Amara Papa, Shoel Nami. Shoel also can. Kevan Shamar Harein Mishalem, Makne Lekfela, Tibai Patranafsha, Bemetamach Mabalacha. He thinks there's no problem to say that he still has a better claim. The fact that he didn't make the better claim that would have postured him means that when he does pay, he acquires the rights to the kefel. Amale Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid says now, okay, we're going to have, this is going to be an opposing opinion to the second reading of Rav Papa. Amale Rav Zvid. Hachi Amar Abaye, Shoel Ad Shiyashalem. A Shoel, okay, so what did we say before? We said that all these people, if they say Hareini Mishalem, that's sufficient. Now he's going to say, no, the Shoel is different. Why? Ad Shiyashalem, he only acquires the rights of the kippah when he actually pays and not when he says, I'm going to pay. My taima ho'il v'kol hana'ah shelo lomakni lekfela. Again, we have this term, because all the benefits are his and he only benefits because he doesn't pay and he gets to use the item. Therefore, it's not sufficient by his word alone to get the kefel. Tanya kavate de Rav Zvid, and here we're going to prove it from a braita. Hashoel para mechavero v'nigniva, v'kidem hashoel v'shilem. Here we have a case where the braita talks about someone who borrows a para from his friend. It gets stolen, and the shoel... He you know, goes ahead vishilem and he pays. V'acharkach nimtza ganav mishalem tashlum kefel la'shoel, and then the ganav is found. Then he pays the kefel to the shoel. But this is only if he, because what does it say? Kidem vishilem, which sounds like only if he paid and not. Now, if you notice, you have to compare the lashonot. We had one source which said our Mishnah, which just said shilem simply. Then we have, right, which we said could be explained as Hareini Mishalem, right? I just say it. Then we have Amar, he says Hareini Mishalem, where it was clear that it was Amira. And then we have ours, which is Kidem Bishilem, which sounds more than just Shilem itself. So that's going to be a little bit of debate about the words here. So first the Gemara says, Lelishna kama de Rav Papa vadai lo tavit yufta. According to the first Lashon of Rav Papa, who says that the Shoel, since he says, Hareini Mishalem, he can't get the kefel. That's not enough. So for sure this isn't a problem, because this also seems to imply the kidei v'shilem, only if you pay and not if you say in words. Lelishna batra, but to the second lashon of Rav Papa, who said, once he says, hareini mishalem, that's enough to give him the kefel, lematavi tiyufte. So this source seems to contradict. So now they say, no, amar lecha Rav Papa, how can Rav Papa answer this? Mi'alima mimatnitin, dekatane shilem, v'ukimna ba'amar. Why is this any different from our Mishnah? So this is kidei v'shilem, our Mishnah says shilem, either which way it says shilem. And what did we say about the Mishnah itself? That the Mishnah was talking about Be'amar. So Hachanami, likewise here, we would say Be'amar. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute. Midame. Hatam lo katane kidem. Hacha katane kidem. How can you compare these? Ours says kidem, and there it didn't say kidem. So then they say, my kidem, kidem v'amar. Just like you said, shilem could be amar hareni mishalem. So kidem could be kidem v'amar hareni mishalem. So then they say, v'hami dekatane skabe socher ve'amar. When we saw the braita, okay, here I brought it on the bottom of your sheet just so you can see it instead of trying to find it back in the Gemara. The braita before said, hasocher parami chavero v'nigniva ve'amar hala hareini mishalem. Remember, we brought that before. So when it says that, the gabe shoel kidem, right, if it specifically uses the lashon by a socher as hareini amar, and it says by a shoel kidem, Shema mina what? The dafka katane. The person writing the braita obviously specified this lashon to say it's different from that one. Okay? Now what would that have to imply? That this braita and that braita were one unit. Right? So the Gemara is going to say now, midiga behadade tane, tanya? Who's to say that the braita about the socher and the braita about the shoel were written next to each other and written by the same person? We've learned this many times in braitot. Braitot were repeated and different people, you know, and this one could be from that school of thought and that one could be from that school. And the fact that they use different wording doesn't necessarily mean that it was bedafka. But now, Gemara is going to actually say no. Shailinhu l'tanai debei Rabbi Chia u'debei Rabbi Yoshaya. They asked the Tanaim from the house of Rabbi Yoshaya and the house of Rabbi Chia, v'amre, and they said, gabe hadade tanyan. This line that we quoted, a line here, we quote a line there, they're actually all part of the same braita. So the braita about the socher, which said, amar hareini mishalem, was the same braita, the continuation was about the shoel that said kidem v'shilem, in which case, they say in the end, the kidem v'shilem must be that he actually has to pay. In which case, we now are left with a question on the second Lashon of Rav Papa. Okay, we don't have a good answer. Okay? So, that's the end of that section. Now we're moving on. Pshita, now we're going to have a whole bunch of questions. Pshita amar eini mishalem, v'chazar v'amar hareini mishalem. Let's say the guy changes his argument. First he says, I'm not going to pay. And then he says, I am going to pay. Ha ka amar hareini mishalem. So you might say, right, hareini mishalem. In this case, it's obvious that since he does say in the end, hareini mishalem, right, we're obviously not talking about the shoel case, which is a question, bichlal, but we're talking about, in any case, what we've said now, if you say hareini mishalem, it works. So the fact that he says it, even though he originally said, I'm not going to pay, but then he changed his mind and says, I'm going to pay, so fine. Obviously, he's going to be machne the kefil. Ella amar, but what if it's the reverse? Amar hareini mishalem, v'chazar v'amar eini mishalem. First he says I'm going to pay, and then he says I'm not going to pay. My, what do we say? Mi amrina mahadar kahadar be. Do we say he was chozer bo, and he changed his mind, and therefore now that he says eini mishalem, he doesn't get the kefel? O dilma b'milte kai. Maybe he really is standing up to his original word. U'dechu yehu dechamad chele. But he's just trying to push the guy off for right now, right? Because what's the deal? We've seen this many times, where he says, I'm going to pay, but then he says, oh, you know what, I'm not really going to pay, and why not? Because he doesn't have the money right now, and he's just pushing the guy off until he gets the money, and then he'll pay the money. Okay, so, since we don't know which one, the question is, do we say that he was machne v'kefel, because he really did say, Arani Mishalem, and he really does intend to pay, or is it not? Now here there's an interesting debate among the Rishon about how they view this case. First of all, if you say Hareini Mishalem and then you say Eini Mishalem, can you actually be Chozer Bo? Is it effective? Or do we say you already committed to paying and tough luck, now you have to pay? Right? We won't take your Shvuah. in the end, because what's the alternative? If he doesn't pay, what does he have to do? He has to swear. Let's say he's a Shomer Chinam. He swears that it was stolen. But if the guy originally said, I'm going to pay, I'm not going to swear, is he even allowed to change his mind? So some of the Mefreshim say that's exactly the debate here. Can he change his mind or not? Some people say, no, he actually can't change his mind, but still we're going to question the fact that he changed his argument. Does that mean now he no longer gets the kefil, even though it's a useless statement? It's not going to be effective. And other people say, no, he actually can be chosrobo. Okay, we have because the whole
you
range.
Can't, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I was going to say it's chaos.
What's like, chaos?
The idea that if you can say this,
you can say something and then change your mind.
And how is anybody's word supposed to be taken?
If you change your mind, what do? You have to swear under oath in court. So if you're going to swear under oath in court, then we allow it.
Okay.
Now, there's a difference between just saying yes, no, changing your mind in court. But this is saying, what this guy's really saying is, from the beginning, he's not saying it wasn't stolen from him. And he's not saying he was negligent. He's just saying, I'm willing to assume responsibility for it. And then he decides, I'm not willing to, right? So is he allowed to change his tone and say, listen, I'm going to swear to pay my way out? Okay? So some people say he can be chozer bo, but still the question is, what's the meaning of this in terms of the kefil? He might be able to change his argument here, but is he, you know, would the kefil be affected either which way? Anyway, I just wanted to show you how the Rishonim kind of don't know what to do with this in terms of, you know, this is all talking about the kefil aspect, but the question not discussed here, the Rishonim talking about behind the scenes is there actually effectiveness to this statement or not? And for that, there's a range of opinions. Okay, we're going to have another whole bunch of questions. I'll already preempt by saying, in the end, we're going to say take good all these. Okay, we don't really know. Amar hareni mishalem umet. He says hareni mishalem, and then he dies. Vamru banav ein anu mishalmim. And then the sons come and say, listen, we're not going to pay. My. Mi amrina mahadr kahadru behu. Do we say that the sons are being chozer by what the father said? In which case, they're not going to get the kefil. Odilma b'milta davon kaime. Maybe they really are sticking to their father's word that they will pay. Udechu Yehuda kamad chile. Right, but they're just trying to push him off. Shilmu banim mai. What if the sons pay? Matze amarle. Let's say right, he said hareini mishalem, or maybe he didn't say anything, and then the guy dies, and the kids come and say hareini mishalem. Okay, and then they even pay. Matze amarlehu. Now remember. How does this all work? The guy gave rights to the kefil to the shomer. Now, in this case, the assumption is, why did he give rights of kefil to the shomer? Because the shomer watched his item. Remember, we even had that havamina that maybe by behemah, when he was working very hard, he gave him the rights because he worked so hard as opposed to kelim. But maybe the owner, right, what will he say? Ki achne kfeila la vuchon. I was willing to give the kefil to your father. Da'avili nech nafshe. Right? Because he helped me out. But lididchu, you guys, I have no connection to you. Lo, I'm not willing to give you guys the kefil. O dilma lo shnar, do we say no? The children are just in place of the father. And just like he was machna the kefil to the father, he'd also be machna the kefil to the children. Shilem labanim mai. What if he pays the sons of, now we're going to switch off, right? Now the guy who dies is the guy with the pikadon. What if he dies? And then the original shomer pays the yorshim of that guy. My matze amrule ki akni lecha avuna kfeila da'avet le'nicha nafshe aval anan lididan lo. My father was willing to pay you the kefil because you helped him out by watching his item, but you didn't do anything for us. We didn't ask you to watch our item. Odil maloshnar, do we say no again? They're in place of their father and they can. Now we're going to say the next case, which is a building of those two. Shilmu banim lebanim. Let's say both the Baal HaFikadon and the guy who was watching it both died. And it's the sons of the son, right? The sons paying the sons, who really are totally removed from each other. Mai. Shilem mechza mai. What if, now we're going to get to a different case, forget about children. Let's say the guy pays half. He says, listen, it got stolen, I'll pay you half of the item, and I won't pay for the other half. And then he swears on the other half. Mai. So what's the case? Again, do we say he gets kefil rights to half of it, or is it only when he pays for the whole thing does he get the kefil rights? Sha'al shtei parot v'shileim achat mehem. Let's say it wasn't one parah that he, let's say, paid half and didn't, you know, and swore on the other half. But let's say he borrowed two parot, and then he pays for one of them. So half of what he was watching, not half of an item, but half of what he was watching. My what would you say? Sha'al min ashutafim v'shilem lecham mehem. Let's say he borrowed something from two partners, and he paid one partner, he didn't pay the other partner. So when the ganav is found, does that partner have to pay his share of the kefel to the guy who paid? What about this case? Shutafin sheshalu, two people borrowed an item together. V'shilem echad mehem, and only one of them paid. So does that guy get rights to the kefel or not? Sha'al min ha'isha v'shilem leba'ala. This is, we've learned about nichse melug, which is property that the woman has that the husband gets to use while she's married, but the goof of it still belongs to the woman. So if the guy paid the husband, my, right? Do we say that he didn't, right? He didn't pay the woman, and the goof of the item is for the woman. Isha sheshala v'shilem bala, a woman borrowed and her husband paid for it, my, what do we say there? Tegu, okay? All these questions, we don't know the answer to. Okay, next section. Amar Rav Huna, mashbi'ino tashvua she'ena birshuto. The guy has to take a shvua that the animal is no longer in his property. My taima, chayshinan shema enav natamba. What are we worried about? Even if this guy pays his rights, we're still worried that maybe he just wants to keep this item and is paying the amount of it. That's like, right, what's it similar to? Hamas. You go into a city, right, relevant to Parshat Shavua, what they say Dora Mabul was convicted of, that they went into a store, the guy didn't want to sell it, they put down money and they grabbed the item and they took it. So maybe this guy's also trying to do something like that. Somebody gave him something to watch. He likes it. He wants to keep it. He knows the guy's not going to give it to him. So what does he do? He says it was stolen. He pays for it. And then he keeps the item himself. So therefore, Rav Huna says, we have to make him swear that it's no longer in his property. Meitive. Now we're going to ask a question on this. Today we're not going to understand why it's a question. We're just going to get to understanding the cases themselves. Hamaveh chavero al hamashkon va'avad hamashkon. Somebody lends his friend money with a collateral, and the collateral gets lost. Now, you have to remember, if you're a malve, you lent money to someone, and they give you a collateral for that item, you're also a type of shomer on that item. So let's say the mashkon gets lost. Now, amar lo, sela habiticha alav, shekel aya shaveh, shekel is half of a sela. So the guy says, I lent you a sela, but the collateral was only worth a shekel. So now, what happens? Right, the sela, right, the loan was for a sela. The mashkon, which was worth half a sela, gets lost. So basically, the mav is saying you owe me half a sela. Then what happens? Hala omer, but the borrower says lo ki ela sela hovitiha lav sela hayashaveh. I gave you a collateral that was worth exactly the amount. He's patur. The guy doesn't have to swear and he doesn't have to pay anything. But sela hilviticha alav shekel ayashaveh. If he says, I lent you a sela, and it was worth a shekel, v'amar hala lo ki ela sela hilvitani alav shlosha dinarim hayashaveh, which is 3/4 of a sela it was worth, which means that the lobe is basically saying, I owe you 1/4 of a sela, not a half a sela like you claim. So what's this a case of? What do we call this? Mode b'miktzat. And mode b'miktzat, what happens? You have to swear. Okay, so chayav. Okay, now we're going to see the reverse case. Sela hilvitani alecha. If the lova says, you lent me a sela, shnayim hayashaveh, and I gave you a collateral that was worth 2 sla'im, so you owe me a sela back. Okay, now you lost my collateral, so at least, right, you have to give me the value of my collateral that was worth more. V'hala omer lo ki ela sela hilviti chalav, sela hayashaveh. No. The malva says, hey, it was the same amount. Patur. The malva doesn't have to swear. Sela hilbitani alav, shnayim hayashaveh. If you say that the lova says, I gave you a sela, and the collateral was worth 2, v'hala omer lo ki ela sela hilbiti chalav, chamisha dinarim hayashaveh. The malva says, you're right, it was more than the amount of the loan, but it was only a little bit more amount, right? It was only 1/4 of a sela more, okay, because a sela is 4 dinarim. Then chayav, then he has to swear. Okay? Now the whole question is, mi nishba? Who swears in both these cases? The basic assumption we thought was, the lova swears when he's modeh b'miktzat in the first case, and the malva swears when he's modeh b'miktzat in the last case, or the second and the fourth, right? So now they say, in either case, it's mi shapikadon etzlo. The malva always is the one who swears. Why? Shema yishava zeh v'yotzi halat ha'pikadon. we always have the shvua nishba ve'eno mishalem, right? So the one who is in his property is always going to be the one who's going to have to swear here, because we're worried that the other guy will take out the pikadon. Okay, well, you know, we'll stop here for today. We'll get more into this tomorrow. And this is going to lead us into a question on the halacha that we saw. Where's everybody?